Standing outside of Beer Street for the Denmark Comes to Brooklyn event.
Yes, we are.
With Jeppe from Evil Twin Brewing Company. Hello, Jeppe.
Hello.
So who's the other twin, if you're an evil twin?
I named the brewery after my brother. No, I didn't. The other twin is my pretty unknown brewery called Michaela. It's new upstarting brewery. No, it's Miguel from Michaela that you probably know of.
Yes. We were aware of that.
You were. That's good.
Actually, how can we be sure we're not talking to Mikkel right now?
You can't.
This is the conundrum.
He's actually the guy liking to do interviews, so he's the guy doing all of them.
So it's unusual that you guys are identical twins, and now you're doing an identical, not identical, but very similar kind of work. How did that happen?
It's not unusual, actually, for us, because, you know, being identical twins, we kind of always have been doing the same thing. The whole thing started with me doing a beer club back in the 90s for a bunch of friends, and Miguel got invited too, and, you know, started drinking weird beers and started homebrewing. And
so you guys got started homebrewing similar time?
Yeah. Actually, I think we did our first homebrews within the same week or something. You know? So, yeah, we started together, and we actually made a beer back then together that we entered into a competition, and it was called Evil Twin Imperial Stout, which is where the name comes from.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, have you guys been brewing commercially the same amount of time?
No. Actually, the plan was back in 04 or 03, we wanted to open a beer bar together, and we started looking at that, but we couldn't come to a conclusion on how we wanted to do it. So instead, we made the decision of me opening a beer store, a bottle shop in Copenhagen, and Miguel brewing the beers for us to sell at the bottle shop. So he started Michaela and, you know, did home brews that we sold, and I opened the bottle shop, and it grew and became pretty popular. And some years after, I was still home brewing and had a bottle shop. I also started a distribution company, so I had both distribution and retail, and I was like, I brew, so why not try and do it commercially and actually try to sell my beers to other people too? So that's how I started. I only started brewing commercially about 2 years ago, so it's pretty new, but growing a lot.
And do you still have the bottle shop?
I still have it in Copenhagen, Denmark, at 7.5 years old now, and it's running better than ever. So
now you're the same kind of brewery as your brother, and also Tuol, basically a gypsy brewer. You don't have your own brewery, your own facility. You go from brewery to brewery to brew your beers.
Yeah.
Why is it like that?
I mean, it's pretty simple. I like to make beer. I like to make the beer I like to drink, and I like to try new stuff. It's kind of moving from home brewing to commercial brewing without having to invest a bunch of money and having to sell a bunch of beers you don't really care for. It just makes a lot of sense to use all that equipment that a lot of other people have bought and paid for, and it's just being there without being used too much. And I think there'll be more and more, actually. I mean, with all the breweries opening now and all the breweries expanding and everything, I think there'll be more and more capacity available for guys like us.
I guess it kind of makes sense if you think of it in a comparison to, say, the music business. Not every record label owns a recording studio.
Exactly. Yeah.
And in the old days, I think they did. The old days, they did own their own recording studio, but nowadays, nobody owns their own recording studio, really. Especially small labels that are doing interesting music.
Exactly. Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's a good comparison, actually. And it just gives you a big freedom to do whatever you want. And, you know, it's fun to be able to say, oh, they have this system in Scotland or this brewery in Scotland that they can do. They're good at doing, you know, IPAs. So let's go and make an IPA. And they have another brewery in Denmark that can do stouts, and let's do a stout there. It's just, as long as the capacity is there and it's available to us, why not use it?
Do you oversee every batch that happens? Or
not at all. That is physically impossible. I mean, I know all the system. I've been to all the breweries. I try to be there as much as I can, but, you know, making so many beers, it's impossible. But now that you get to know the systems and know how they work, and it's like being a chef making a recipe for a kitchen that you haven't been in before. you can still make a good dish at that kitchen. You don't have to be there every time. You can still make the recipe, kind of. I know all the brewers, so I know how it works, and I know what comes out of it. So, I mean, being there, it's not even possible. Right now, I make beers at 10 different breweries in 6 different countries.
A lot of frequent flyer miles if you were to go to...
I know. I fly a lot still, but, I mean, that would be impossible.
Another similarity between Evil Twin and McKellar is that you guys don't seem to want to linger on a recipe. Brew a beer and then move on to the next one.
Actually, that wasn't my plan to begin with. My biggest issue right now is lack of capacity. We sell more and more Evil Twin, and it's growing a lot. But Mikkel has a big brewery in Belgium that he makes most of his beers at, and they can actually supply the capacity. I don't have that. And having a lot of recipes that you want to try out, and having a lot of ideas you want to try out, every time I get extra capacity, I'm like, if I don't try this recipe out now, it's going to take a long time before I can do it. I had a plan of doing 5 or 10 beers on a permanent base and put them out on a bigger scale and then do all these experimental beers on the side. But right now I just haven't had the capacity, so I want to, you know, I need to try everything. But I'm actually in the process of making a plan of 5 to 10 beers that I want to do all year, bigger scale, and then do like experimental brews on the side.
So. And what are some of those beers that you want to do on a regular basis that have already been released?
Yin and Yang, definitely. Of course, you know, I like the beers, and I think it's a really good idea, and it's new. It hasn't been done before in that way. Hipster Ale, because it's a nice, drinkable summer beer.
And because you now live in Brooklyn.
Exactly. Bikini Beer, which is a 2.7% IPA I've made in Norway, which is just, to me, it's... Within the last 10 years, craft brewing has gone to more and more towards, you know, big beers and crazy beers and high alcohol and big styles and big barley wines. But it's kind of turning, and people want more low-alcohol beers with lots of flavor, and I think Bikini Beer is one of those beers that really... You can drink a lot of it, but it still tastes really good and has some really good flavor. So that's one. Hipster Ale, Yin Yang. I want to do 4 seasonals for the fall, spring, winter, and summer, but I want to do 4 IPA kind of beers, so it's going to be, you know, Bikini Beer for the summer, before, during, and after for Christmas, which is an IPA, made 8% IPA. Freudian Slip for the fall, and Molotov Cocktail, which is 13% IPA for spring. I just like the idea of doing IPA-ish beers for the whole year, because, you know, that's what we like to drink. I don't see any reason to make Belgian-style brown ale for Christmas, just because that's what everybody think you should do.
Being a gypsy brewer, if you could have access to any single brewery, anyone in the world, which one would you choose?
Jolly Pumpkin.
Jolly Pumpkin.
No doubt.
No hesitation there.
No hesitation. Jolly Pumpkin, to me, is the perfect brewery.
Would you ever consider, if it was ever offered, brewing on a system like Budweiser or Carlsberg?
I wouldn't do it.
Why not?
I mean, I like Carlsberg for what it is.
I'm not saying brew Carlsberg or brew Budweiser.
I know. Yeah, you know, just brewing at Carlsberg. No, it doesn't make sense to me to brew at a system that big. Not at all. I mean, what would I do? I don't make beers that are suitable for 5,000 barrel systems or whatever that big is.
Not much sour bikini could be a very good thing in the summer.
Could be. Actually, we were just talking about sour bikini, and we should make a brewery only making beer styles like that, like 2.5% sour beers. Just put them out like crazy. I don't know. I mean, I would never say never, but it's too big, and I don't think I'll ever be that big to be able to brew at a system that big.
At least you're honest about it.
I am.
Well, thanks for spending some time and talking to us, Jeppe.
Thank you.